Welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 FM WAMW and worldwide live from WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Schwarzentruber. Each week we focus on a topic important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligonier. Well, I'm very excited about this week's program. We've got an important guest on today, and this is going to be a continuation of our focus on the U.S. Senate election and the U.S. Senate primary. And I'm joined today by Congressman Luke Messer, who's a Southern Indiana boy. And welcome to the show, Luke.
Hey, Grant. Glad to be on. Yeah, you're right. I grew up in Greensburg and the eastern side of the southern part of the state, but I was actually born down in Evansville.
Okay.
My parents were at school down there now 49 years ago. So
wonderful.
Anyway, it's great to be on with you guys.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule. Obviously, you're a busy guy. Tell us a little bit about your background. Obviously, you're in Congress. Maybe tell us about what you represent, your areas, and how you got there.
Well, sure. I mean, I think the foundation of who I am is I'm the son of a single parent mother, and I'm a husband and a father and somebody of faith who tries to approach public service from that perspective. I was actually raised in a single parent family. My mother raised my brother and I on her own while she worked at the Delta Faucet factory over in Greensburg, Indiana. And, you know, like so many other folks, we're taught in small towns all across our state. You know, my mom said, hey, no excuses, kid. Work hard, stay focused,
right.
Anything's possible. You were blessed by the grace of God to find your way in the United States of America. Go
That's
make
awesome.
It happen. And so I went on to Wabash College, and eventually I served in the State House and have served in Congress. I'm also a fifth-grade basketball coach. I coach my son's
All right.
Fifth-grade basketball team, and I've coached
does,
his football
does he aspire
team
to be a? Does he aspire to be a Greensburg Pirate?
I think what he aspires to be is a well-paid professional athlete. We'll see. I'm not sure he has the genetics for that.
We had Greensburg over at the sectional here in Washington several years, and they came and they would pound the teams pretty good. They had some really good teams over the last 5-10 years there.
Well, that's right. I mean, they've had, you know, kids go on to the McIntosh boy was that a nice career in the Big Ten at Northwestern,
yes.
And they of course had some really good teams, but you know, Washington's had some great teams.
Yes.
I mean, you guys know that, and a lot of great players.
Anytime you got a 7-footer,
you know,
that helps, right? 7-footers.
Yeah, particularly when you got a genetic family of them, right?
That's so, right.
But that certainly helped. But we didn't have quite that. But we had, you know, just as you guys have experienced, those kids that are Division I level kids and great kids, by the way. I mean, just like all the kids from your community have been on those great teams.
Sure.
You know, it's more than just having athletes that can play in the Big Ten. It's having good kids that compete the right way.
That's right.
And we've been very proud of that. I have to tell you this is a political story related to those Pirates teams. So when they won the first state title, I was invited to speak at the big pep rally, you know, like in Indiana, a couple thousand people,
sure.
All that. And they brought me in because I'd just been elected to Congress. And I started my speech by telling them, you know, hey, I was a 5'11 power forward, so my freshman, my basketball career ended on the freshman B team.
Sure, sure. Well, we can't all be professional athletes, so yeah, that's funny.
So you mentioned
exactly. Wabash, Congressman, and I think that all the candidates in this race, at least the three ones that I'm thinking of, are all Wabash graduates. Did you guys send a memo out and just said only Wabash guys,
yeah.
Or what's the story with that?
I don't know. Listen, I'm very proud of Wabash College. It's a great school, and I enjoyed my time there. And it is a school that produces leaders, so it's kind of, I guess, only natural that a few folks from that college have run over the years. It is
sure.
A little bit interesting, though, to have all three guys in this race be from Wabash College, that's for sure.
It's something unusual. So I have heard about your background. It was a very interesting story, kind of, a meager background, and obviously you've done well from yourself and have, you know, went on to get an education and then run for Congress. I guess I want to ask you a little bit about the process so far in running for U.S. Senate. Why is now the time for that? And tell us a little bit about the steps you've taken.
Well, Well, I think, you know, it also relates to the approach that I bring to public service. Listen, I'm a mainstream Indiana conservative. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I believe in lower taxes and limited government. I'm proud of the time I spent with Indiana's leadership team, helping elect Mitch Daniels, being in House leadership when Mitch Daniels was in his first term, where we took, you know, deficits and turned them into surpluses and really got Indiana back on track in a way that I think most Hoosiers are proud of now.
Sure.
I think the reason why the Senate now is really pretty simple. The United States Senate is broken, and Joe Donnelly's a big part of the problem. I mean, you know, Joe Donnelly talks conservative back home, but I was with a guy up in the northeast part of the state in a town called Avila in a coffee shop last weekend. The gentleman said, you know, the problem with Joe Donnelly is not what he says, it's what he does. And the reality is Joe Donnelly votes with Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer 85% of the time. That's out of step with most Hoosiers. And what we have to do as a party is unite as conservatives and nominate someone that can make the, you know,
that can
make
be
the
effective
case to Joe Donnelly.
That's right. That can be effective and win a general election.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So totally understand all that. I guess some of the pushback that you'll hear is that it looks like we've got three candidates that can probably win this, you know, that could win a general election. What makes Luke Messer the one that needs to come out of the first step?
Well, listen, I'm certainly proud of my background, which I think is unique among the candidates that are running. I'm proud of my service and being part of the Mitch Daniels leadership team. I'm proud to work with President Trump right now as a.
I saw you at the State of the Union. I saw you at the State of the Union. You were very close to the front. I was impressed that you were up that far. So,
well, my friend Steve Scalise was honored by the president. That was an outstanding moment, and Steve's a very courageous guy, and I'm proud of him. And you know, we had
Amazing story, a moment there.
When the president mentioned him, and we helped him. You know, we helped Steve stand and greet the crowd. So that was, you know, that was a touching moment. But I'm proud of the work we're doing with President Trump in Washington. I'm proud of the tax cuts we could pass. So I think certainly have the record, but I think beyond that, look, I'm laser focused on Joe Donnelly, and I think that's what we have to do as conservatives. You're not going to hear me talk a lot about the other guys running. I just think, frankly, that's what Joe Donnelly wants us to do. Joe Donnelly wants us to throw stones at each other because the Democrats in Indiana know they only win when Republicans are divided. And frankly, that's been a little bit of a distinction in our race. I'm focused on conservative principles. I'm focused on helping President Trump, and I'm focused on defeating Joe Donnelly. And I think that's where our focus needs to be if we're going to win this race. We are going to win this race.
I think that's really admirable. Honestly, I like to hear you say that. And I do think it could be, it's something of a distinction, perhaps. I think you're right, and I understand what you're saying. I guess, is there a desire on your side to, I mean, you talked about the other candidates briefly, but we don't want to say bad things about them. Is there a desire to respond to some of this stuff that's maybe being put out by some of your primary opponents?
I'm glad to answer any questions that you'd have. I mean, look, we're an open book.
Sure. Well, I was an admirer of President Reagan as well, and he said, you know, the 11th commandment was we don't talk ill of our fellow Republicans. And
sure.
I admire, I guess, your focus on the general and trying to get the election and that seat back in Republican hands. What do you see as your particular role in forming policy? I know your background in the state legislature was you were very focused on certain policies, education, some of these things, and I think that's kind of where you cut your teeth in the state legislature with some of those things. Tell us about what you'd focus on if you were to be successful in the primary and then in the general.
Well, look, I think the two big issues that drive the conversations I have with Hoosiers is the desire for a growing economy and desire for a continued strong national security. And, you know, in communities all across Indiana, like the one I grew up with in Greensburg, like those in your listening area, folks just want an opportunity to get a good paying job. I think one of the big drivers of President Trump's election was this fear of frozen paychecks, stagnant wages, which in real dollar sense have just flatlined really all across the country, and certainly through many of the small towns in Indiana that, you know, you grew up in and I grew up in. And so I think we've got to get focused on the policies that will deal with that. What are those policies? Well, I mean, listen, I think the tax cuts were a big step in the right direction. Despite what Nancy Pelosi might say, a couple thousand dollars is a lot for working families. And that's what the tax cut will do for them. I think we've got to look at common sense trade reform, where we're enforcing our trade laws and making sure that there's fair trade in addition to free trade. President Trump has been a great champion for that. We've got to look at common sense immigration policy. Listen, President Trump has recognized that having open borders and illegal immigrants coming into our country has helped keep wages low, and it's long past time that we do something about illegal immigration in this country.
Let's talk about that a little bit. How close are we to an immigration deal, and what role will the House play in that, or the Senate?
Well, listen, I think there is no clearer promise from the last election than President Trump's promise to build a wall and secure the border. And it is overwhelmingly popular with the people of Indiana, but really overwhelmingly popular with people across the country. And President Trump's got this right. We need to secure the border. We need to move to a merit-based immigration system that does away with the visa lottery that gives away hundreds of thousands of work visas in our country just by drawing the names out of a hat, gets rid of the chain migration where one person comes here and can bring, you know, a broad cross-section of other folks from their home country here as well, and moves towards having immigration based on folks that have skills and can contribute to the economy. And I think in doing that, there's an opportunity to deal with DACA, which has been a big part of the push from Democrats on this issue. But that can only be dealt with in the context of making sure we secure our border and have broader immigration reforms.
Now, I totally understand that. I think in a primary, what ends up happening, you have to push for the most conservative positions in the Republican primary and the most liberal positions in the Democrat primary. I guess it seems like a lot of folks in general are, Congress has low approval ratings, and I guess I'm curious, where do we go from where we're at? And maybe what I'm asking is, I mean, are you someone that can work with what might be a lot more Democrats that come into the federal legislature here this year?
Well, first, look, I want to challenge the premise of your question there a little. 75% of America wants to secure our border. 75% of America thinks we should move to a merit-based immigration system. 75% of America believes that, we don't need to have chain migration in this country. And by the way, 75% of America wants some sort of solution to DACA, right? So I don't think, for example, the president's immigration proposal had to be partisan at all. Any more than I think the tax plan had to be partisan. I think, unfortunately, Democrats have decided that their path to potential future victory is just opposing this president at every turn.
Right.
It's why I came to office certainly wanting to work with President Trump and support him, and every day I get more and more adamant about it, because I think it's just so incredibly unfair the way he's been treated by Democrats. And now, to what I think it's important, as you've described, to understand, when you're elected, you have to work with both sides. I mean, of course, I'm a conservative, and I have conservative principles, and that's what guides me. But some of the biggest achievements we've been able to pass, and occasionally, for example, you will pass something meaningful in partisan ways. I was able to end child tax credits for illegal immigrants in our country. That was part of the tax package that passed with almost entirely Republican votes. but I was also able to help veterans who were hurt when ITT Tech closed and reestablish Pell Grant, or not only Pell Grant, but Pell Grant and GI Bill benefits for those veterans. And to do that, we had to do it in a bipartisan way. And you know, I was taught growing up that you can disagree without being disagreeable.
Sure.
I think Hoosiers understand that.
Absolutely.
Right? That a basic civility is a big part of how you figure out a way to work with others.
Absolutely. And I agree, Congressman, with what you're saying. I think we're still a center-right country, even after, you know, President Obama and some of the rapid changes we've seen over the last 10 years or so. I guess they also want to see, you know, solutions, and they want to see someone who, like you said, can agree with folks without being disagreeable. Tell me a friend of yours that's in Congress, a close friend that's a Democrat, and maybe one that's a Republican, just someone you can think of.
Well, those are great questions. You know, a couple of the guys that probably the Democrat I'm closest friends with is a guy named John Delaney, who's from Maryland, and he happens to be running for president on the Democrat side of the aisle right now. He's a guy that grew up in a working class family, had a very successful business, and we got to know each other because we came in and John was elected president of the freshman class from the Democrats, and I was elected president of the freshman class from the Republicans. And we decided it was important to start doing breakfast, lunch, and dinners. We did meetings with dignitaries, including folks like Bill Gates and Supreme Court Justice and others, just so, because we believed it would be harder to demonize someone you knew.
Absolutely.
And so we worked on that, and we've built friendships across our aisle. I'm also friendly with Joe Kennedy, who frankly gave a very liberal response to the President's State of the Union. I never quite heard Joe talk like that. But anyway, you know, I've gotten to know him personally.
Got a platform. You got to say it, right? He gets a platform. He's going after it.
I guess. I mean, but boy, some of what he had to say, I think he included, you know, if you build that wall, President, we'll tear it down or something. And, you know, what I don't agree with his speech, but I've gotten to know him personally. You know, on the Republican side of the aisle, I mean, because of my role as the House Republican Policy Chair and being in House Leadership, I've gotten to know a whole bunch of folks out in our. And by the way, by and large, I mean, they're good and decent people trapped in a system that's not working very well. But the guys that I am probably closest with is a small group of guys that we did a Bible study together when I was a freshman in Congress. One of them is Steve Daines, who's now a senator from Montana. Another one is Brad Winstrup, who's a congressman from Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
A third is Doug Collins, who is now the secretary of the conference, and he's from Georgia. And then Mark Meadows, who is
North
the head
Carolina.
Of the Freedom Caucus.
Yeah.
The five of us were in a Bible study together. Mark Meadows and I actually just released a legislation that would apply child tax credits to expectant mothers to help families defer the cost of having a child.
Wonderful.
I think it's great pro-life legislation that's really common sense. But those would be, you know, an example of
that's really
folks
cool.
We would.
I like the answer to that question. I mean, you're obviously you didn't know I was going to ask you that, so you've just got to try to answer the question to the best of your ability. And I just appreciate your straightforward nature relative to that. Mark Meadows, he's gotten a lot of publicity here lately, just as head of the Freedom Caucus, obviously a conservative guy, but he seems like he's reasonable. He's a guy that you can work with. Obviously he's conservative, but I've heard good things about
him.
Well,
he's a guy, he's a person of faith. Look, all five of those, well, five includes me, but the five of us together are people who approach public service from the perspective of a calling, who believe that you know, part of walking in life as a Christian is you treat people with a certain level of respect that's worthy of any of the way that any human being ought to be treated, and you know, at the end of the day, you have a healthy respect that you're not in charge here on this earth, right?
There's
a There's a somebody way bigger and way more powerful than any of us that sort of shapes the sands of time. So anyway,
right. It's good perspective too. I mean, I'm sure there were different attitudes, at least for a little bit, after some of the incidents that have happened. You know, with the shooting and then the train accident recently. Obviously, there's partisanship going on, but I think that has a ability to narrow one's focus, and it gives a sense of perspective on what's truly important, and that's life, and that's relationships, and our faith.
Yep.
I'm gonna start wrapping it up here, but what I'm gonna do is something of a lightning round, and I'd like to say a couple of names, and I want you to kind of off the cuff give me a couple of words. The first thing that comes to your mind when I say those names, okay?
Yep.
All right. President Donald Trump.
It would be leader, straight shooter, and positive. Because, man, when you meet him privately, he is a really positive guy.
That's interesting. Okay. Change of pace here. President Barack Obama.
wrong. family. Liberal.
Sure. You said family. He was a good family man, or what do you mean about family?
Yeah, that's my sense. Is, I mean, when I think of him, I do think of his family.
Yeah.
But boy, I think he was wrong, and I think he's really liberal.
understand. Okay. Someone that you hope to be working with, Senator Mitch McConnell.
Shrewd, entrenched. And trying.
Sure. I know you guys don't, I know you're not necessarily in the same house, and those are good answers. So, okay. And another
I think he's trying. I mean, listen, I think there's a lot of challenges in the Senate. We need to change the rules, but I think he's awfully entrenched and locked into the standard way of doing business in Washington. Anyway.
So she made a cameo earlier, and here's your last one, Nancy Pelosi.
short and liberal and loud.
Fair enough. I'm going to give you, Luke, your closing argument on why we should vote for you for U.S. Senate GOP primary, and then you give us your closing argument, and we'll close it out, okay?
Listen, I guess for my closing argument, I would start with wisdom from my 10-year-old son, Hudson, who said to me a few months back, you know, Dad, I've been thinking about Joe Donnelly. And I said, really, buddy? You know, you're 10. You've been thinking about Joe Donnelly. And he said, yeah, I've been thinking about Joe Donnelly. Joe Donnelly's not a leader. He's a follower. Why would we pick a follower to be our leader? And, you know, when you think about that and you think about who Joe Donnelly's been following, Joe Donnelly votes with Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders 85% of the time. Every one of your listeners would understand those folks are wrong way more than 15% of the time, and we have to unite as Republicans to take the case to Joe Donnelly and help the people of Indiana understand why they need a new United States senator. I grew up in southern Indiana in a single-parent family. My mom worked at a factory. I was taught the values of hard work and faith and family. I'm a husband and father like so many of your listeners who wake up really every day most concerned about my family having a future and all the other families across Indiana having a good future. And the key to doing that is to elect a Republican to the United States Senate. We're going to do that when we come together and unite as a party. So you're not going to hear me throwing stones at other Republicans. I'm going to stay laser focused on Joe Donnelly. And when we do, we're going to win this primary and win this general election and make sure that Hoosiers get the conservative U.S. senator they deserve.
Wonderful. Excellent closing argument. And I really appreciate your time today, Congressman, and just thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, it's great to be on, Grant, and have a great day and a great weekend.
Wonderful. Thank you. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Lagodi. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's show Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on 4 Star Country, the General 95.9 and FM 1580 AM. You can also listen to or download a copy of today's program and past shows by visiting WAMWAMFM.com. I'm Grant Swartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 on Memories 107.9 FM, WAMW, and each Sunday morning on 95.9 FM and 1580 AM, WAMW, as we focus on the community.